And here he is, the one and only Bernie Kosar, after a long weekend to kind of digest what we saw last Thursday night. Bernie, I want to get your, first of all, your general take on what this team can maybe look at from a game like that, pushing a team as strong as the Ravens to the brink. And yeah, you're still looking at an 0-4 season, but what was your sense of the Browns after that game?
Well, you hit it right on the head. This is the pros. You don't like being 0-4, and we lost the game. You know, and not trying to be an apologist. That being said, God, there were some really good things in the game the other day. You know, the way Brandon Wheaton came back, there's a lot of drops. Receivers must get that out of their system, those drops. But he kept fighting, kept plugging along. The drives in the second half to get points and put us in a position to have a chance, I thought was really impressive. You know, I'm a big fan of Ozzie Newsome, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, and what they're doing there. And to really go in a bad weather condition on the road, to really go toe-to-toe with them, again, I know ultimately you need to win, but to go toe-to-toe with them at their place, there was a lot of positive things I saw Thursday night.
Yeah, and I want to start with Brandon Wheaton because it seemed to me that he did take some more forward steps with how he got into the groove at various times to lead this football team. I mean, particularly that sense right before the half on that the only touchdown that the Browns had, but also, you know, just taking them down in the second half and keeping them in the game. It just looked to me like that maturity level, whatever we want to call it, took another climb.
Yeah, and his throws, his maturity level, his pocket presence, I thought looked really good. But also, too, you saw in the game that Baltimore's tendency was on 3rd and 8+, they were blitzing. They were going to bring more people to cause a side adjustment than either make an incompletion or tackle and get them before the first down marker. I thought Coach Shurmur did a nice job of adjusting to that and making plays in the second half that picked up some of those blitzes. And Wheaton did a really nice job of throwing the ball down the field, throwing the ball vertically. And there were some nice completions. Would have liked to have seen on the one, Greg Little, make that catch in the end zone because that was a nice chess-type adjustment to their blitzing to pick up the blitz and to be able to throw the skinny post to the slot receiver, which is Greg Little, which is the one that was dropped basically at the goal line.
Bernie, what does a quarterback start seeing 4 games into the season? I know the whole – it's not just these 4 games. I know this started in the offseason. I know about training camp practices and preseason games and all of that area where you're supposed to evolve as a quarterback. But now that you're dealing with the real thing through 4 games and these different opponents that they've faced – Give me a sense of what he's starting, based on your observation, what he's starting to get now.
Well, I think he's starting to feel comfortable that he belongs in the league, that he belongs against these defenses, because he's able to stand in there, he's able to throw it down the field, and he's able to handle some of the pressure, move around, and make plays. And each week, he's making more plays, and that's the positive thing to me.
And the negative is that receivers are still dropping passes on him. Now, that is something we know we've talked about ad nauseum, and it's still a problem. And one of the key, you know, individuals involved in this is, of course, Greg Little. How do you, as a quarterback, deal with that? And Greg isn't the only guy dropping passes, but how do you adjust to that or find a way as a quarterback to wrap your mind around the fact that receivers are still dropping your passes?
Vic, this is a really tricky one for a leader and for a quarterback. And it's at the point of really, it's a good question, and it's one of the tougher things as a QB, as a leader, as the head of the offense, whether you want to be or not, whether you're a rookie or not, you are the head of the offense if you're the quarterback on an NFL team. if it's a lack of effort, if it's loafing on routes, if it's bad technique on comebacks, not coming back to the ball, if it's I think I'm a decoy and I'm loafing because I think I'm the backside route and I'm not going to be primary. Okay, that's all one thing, and that's kind of lumped into, God rest his soul, there could be a lot of ramifications negatively as amount, to the amount I'm going to yell and scream at that receiver. But when it comes to, like, dropped passes, that's a tricky one because that's sometimes it's, yeah, it's focus, but trust me, nobody wants to catch the ball more than Greg Little. The receiver, nobody wants to catch that ball more. So sometimes by yelling or kind of losing your cool, I actually think you would have the adverse effect to the young receiver. So in situations like that, I'm kind of more prone to, this is where when you develop a relationship, whether you're, and I really, really believe in this, where guys hang out together, they spend time together off the field, not just, it's just not a business where we go practice, we look at film, and we don't see each other till tomorrow. This is when it really comes in handy if you have a relationship with the guys around you. So you could kind of be positive with them, help them out, because he's not dropping these balls on purpose. I mean, he wants to catch it more than any of us. So if you tend to kind of lose your cool, kind of put more pressure on them, I think the drops tend to be more. And if you try to, you know, show that your relationship, you know, that you're focused on it, that you're friends, that we're in this together, and you work after practice, you work on the jugs machine, you work a little before practice, you think about football, you know, whether you're there or not, you're thinking about catching it, you tend to, I think, have better results that way.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's such a, you put that so well. Bernie Kosar is joining us, as he always does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, as we flip to the defensive side of the ball and look at a team that so far has played through most of their games defensively well enough to be in each of those games, I think that's having a real positive effect on how actually the offense is functioning and gives more promise, more hope to what we see ahead. Yeah, it's a very tough game coming up in New Jersey against the Giants, and it looks like the kind of team that you'd absolutely have to be at your best defensively, and they're still without Joe Hayden, still without Phil Taylor, but I'm really amazed at how well this defense has played.
Yeah, defensively, you could see the speed, the youth, the enthusiasm. Billy Wynn is a fifth-round pick from Boise State. The defensive line, the young linebackers, Robinson, had another pick in the game and made some nice plays. That athleticism, that speed, has been, and Dick Geron and his defense definitely should be commended. But it also, to your point, because the defense is playing winning football, it helps the young offense because we don't have to take chances. We don't have to press. We don't have to try to overdo everything. And then in turn, you're allowed to let the game maybe come to yourself a little more.
Yeah, that seems to be what the whole key to that is. And then to add, I guess, something more to what this defensive effort is to look at the special teams and look at Phil Dawson and the ability to have a guy banging him in from 50-plus yards out, 50 or more yards out, as he does routinely for an offense and a quarterback again, or for Pat Shurmur and his quarterback, his whole offense, that has to affect your thinking and put you maybe in a very good position most times to know that if all else fails, you've got that.
Well, we talk about this a lot. I mean, it's amazing, Phil Dawson, how lucky and blessed we are to have somebody of his magnitude. Because, you know, yeah, we routinely – look at last night, the Philadelphia game. Philadelphia beat – the Giants, because the Giants could not make a 54-yard field goal. Times couldn't kick it far enough. We routinely take it for granted that Phil Dawson's just going to make it. We don't even think that it's an issue when it's a 50-yard field goal because we have Phil Dawson. I mean, it's really, we're a little spoiled, but it's awesome to see stuff like that.
Yeah, it really is. It totally is. All right. Well, outstanding, Bernie. We appreciate you taking the time, and we will talk with you later on, my friend.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
He's the one and only Bernie Kosar joining us as usual right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.